I want to give fifth message on this text, very special text in Book of Romans, Romans 3:21 through 26, the verses that Jenna just recited. People call this the heart of the gospel. That is why we are memorizing it, reciting it, and meditating it. And I really encourage you to do that. Okay, it's not to brag or show off or anything like that. If you could just understand the six verses by your heart, I think it's going to change your life. Literally change your life. That is why we're taking our time and memorizing this verse over and over again. Today, fifth message of those six verses, and the title of the message is that he might be just and the justifier. Okay, and some of you may be thinking, what in the world does that mean, right? What in the world does that mean? Here's the question, okay? Is God just? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. So many people accuse God that God is not just. He's God of injustice, as if you are just, okay? But Bible clearly declares that he is God of justice. In fact, today's text, 25b and verse 26, it says that the cross is the demonstration or vindication of his justice. And here's a question then. Why is that so important? If you think about it, let's say I am the judge and you come to the court of U.S. government, and you kill someone. You're a murderer. Okay, and the judge declares you are righteous. There's no crime in you. Is that right? Is that something that's okay? Absolutely not. That's injustice. You kill someone, and clearly it is against the law of the United States, and the judge who represents the law to carry out the justice and declares that you are righteous. It doesn't make sense at all. Now think with me. We're talking about God of the universe declaring you are righteous. But you know you're not. In fact, the first thing that Paul established in the first three chapters of Romans is that no one's righteous. No one even comes close to that. And then he's saying he justifies the sinners. Why does he do that? How does he do that? Okay, that's what we want to look at today. Okay, so he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus at the same time through the message of the cross. There is the power, there is that wonder of the message of the cross that we're going to be talking about today. For those of you who are joining, following, we are in the second section of Romans. Chapter 1 through chapter 3:20 is section 1. I've been explaining this over and over again. And if you're in the classes with Friday Night Group or Friday Night Group with June, Pastor June, or different groups, we go over this. We started the second section, which is the gospel part, from Romans 3:21 to chapter 5. And these are some of the major doctrines that we've been going over. And I'm just going to read it to you quickly, hopefully trigger some curiosity and desire to know, because these are the most fundamental teaching and belief of Christianity, which means it may sound a little bit fancy, but it is not, but this is the most fundamental belief the church has been teaching and believing for you to know, okay? Justification by faith. You could easily say salvation is by faith alone. Okay? It is by faith alone. Something that distinguishes all the other religion from Christianity. Okay? Second, redemption in Christ Jesus. Redemption is a slavery word. Okay? We were born as slaves. Slaves have a master. Slave have a master who doesn't love you. And that master will take you to the limit. A master you can't say no to. If you do, he will hurt you. He'll beat you. and he will use you to the limit. And Bible says all of you were born as slaves. Slave to sin and slave to Satan. I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohols. I'm not just talking about gambling. Your heart is a slave. Your life is a slave to sin and Satan. Okay, and Christ redeemed you through his blood. Propitiation by his blood. And this is the word that has to do with justice. Paying the penalty that the justice demands. Whose justice? Of God. And Jesus is the propitiation. Now, the amazing truth about this gospel is that God placed him there so that his justice could be met through his son, Jesus Christ. And today, we'll be dealing with two new doctrines. God of justice. God is just. You do not have to worry about that. Are you just? Okay. Are you just? Are you fair? Are you absolutely fair? God is. And we know we are not. Okay? Bible declares that, and today's passage will explain that. And today, justifier of sinners, which is the mystery. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? Can I just read what I read this morning? Really blessed my heart. Okay? In fact, what I'm going to be reading is from the Old Testament. Speaks about justifier of sinners. Someone named David is so overwhelmed by his great forgiveness upon his life. And it's from Psalm 103. And I'm going to just read it to you. And it blessed my heart so much. He begins with just worshiping God of who he is. And this is what he wrote. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Let me read that verse one more time. He does not deal with us according to our sins. That sounds like injustice. Why does he deal with us, you know, with injustice? Nor repay us according to our iniquities. Why does he do that? For as high as heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for men, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. What is he saying? You know what? You know what David is saying? He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Aren't you glad? If he does, none of you will be sitting here. None of us will be standing here. But God deals with his great steadfast love, hesed, mercy. God deals with us with compassion like a father toward his own child. Isn't that amazing? From everlasting to everlasting. But this is not a good child. This is kind of people that we saw in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. We don't love him. We hate him. We oppose him. We don't want to know him. We want to suppress his truth. And yet, he shows his great mercy toward us and deals with a father like a father toward his child from everlasting to everlasting. Okay? So we want to look at these two things today. And today, I'm just going to read it one more time for those of you who are joining for the first time, because it is worth listening to again and again and again. But the righteous But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. There is no difference. There's no exception. Jew, Gentiles, Americans, Koreans, it doesn't really matter. Male, female, educated, non-educated, it does not matter. It is only by faith. There is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all who believe are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And these are the two verses that I want to focus on today. This is to show God's righteousness or justice because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. And he repeats, kind of like repetition. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Can you take a look at these two sentences? Okay. It begins with, this is to show. In other words, cross is to show something about God. About what? His justice. Now, can you hold and think with me? What is the cross? It's the way of punishing, capital punishment of someone who deserved to die, right? And it is saying it was to show God's justice. Can you think with me? That's God's justice? How is that God's justice? This first sentence explains why. And second sentence explains what happened because of that. Okay? See this? Because. And it says, so that. Okay? So, through the cross, the righteousness of God has been displayed. Because the reason is, in the past, in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. This is what it means. If God deals with you and I with sin, okay, with his perfect holiness, perfect justice, none of you will be sitting here. You're all just consumed, okay? There is no Old Testament. There is no New Testament. Everything is done because of his perfect justice. But Bible says he does not deal with that perfect justice. He is patient. His forbearance, his long patience, okay? His compassion, okay? So what does that mean? Okay. Second Peter, when people were kind of like accusing, why isn't Jesus coming back? Isn't Jesus supposed to be here a long time ago? It's been 2,000 years since he promised that he will come back. Why doesn't he come back? And Bible has an answer to that question, okay? Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Okay, for those of you who are seeing this verse for the first time. For us, one day is one day, right? We are creatures, creation, and human beings. One day is made up of 24 hours, and next day, another 24 hours. But for God, who is transcendent of time and space, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Can you imagine that? For God, who is transcendent of time and space, there is no present, future, and past. In fact, 1,000 years is like one day, and one day is like 1,000 years. For us to complain that, why isn't he coming back? It's been 2,000 years, but it's been, for him, it's just nothing. But there is a reason why he's not coming back, okay? And this is what he says. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you. Okay, Bible says, you know why he's not coming back? Turning it around, he's patient towards you. Not wishing that any of you to perish, but reaching, all should reach repentance. And I hope you're hearing what the scripture is saying. You know why he's being patient with you? Because he doesn't want you to perish. gives that sense that without repentance, you're going to perish. If you read John chapter 3, okay, it clearly says, all of you slave to sin are standing condemned right now. When he comes back right now, if he comes back right now, you'll have no chance. The righteous judge will judge you according to the life that you have lived, and you'll be judged accordingly. Okay? So, he's patient towards you, not wishing that anyone to perish, but all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord, the judgment day, will come like a thief. Okay, Bible says, will come like a thief, meaning it'll come any day. Thieves don't tell you when I'm going to be visiting you to take things away from you. It'll come when you are least expected. Okay, there's one more verse in Acts chapter 17. When Paul went to Athens, he was speaking at a place called Areopagus, Mars Hill, okay? And he preaches this sermon to the intellectuals of his time. And this is what he says, the time of ignorance got overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. That means you, that means me, that means everywhere, everyone to repent. You know why? Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has shown assurance to all by raising from the dead. Okay? He's calling everyone to repent because he set up a day that he's going to judge the world. And who's going to judge the world? He has proven by raising him from the dead. Jesus will be judging the world, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Okay, just going back. So what's the reason that he had to put Jesus on the cross to demonstrate his justice? People were accusing him. People could say, oh, he's not just. He's absolutely just. Absolutely just. Every sin that he had passed over, he placed upon his son. And he poured the wrath upon him. Everything is taken care of. So he is perfectly just. Okay? Looking at verse 26, it just kind of begins with the same beginning. It was to show his righteousness or justice at the present time, time of New Testament, time of Jesus. So that, what's the result of that? He might be just. He just proved that he is just. And at the same time, he's the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It's an amazing message. The cross proves that he's just. The cross proves that he's merciful towards sinners and he could justify you. Here's what we need to understand. God could never be just and forgive you without the cross. God could never forgive you and merciful and take you without the cross, okay, and be just. The cross is a must, okay? I just wanted to show you something. This is the picture we took 10 days ago when we were in Rome. Some of you may recognize it, some of you don't. My wife and I went there 2 weeks ago to celebrate our 30th anniversary. And there are places that we kind of need to visit. This is Vatican, the birthplace, the place of Roman Catholicism, Christianity. Look at the size of it, right? How huge and overwhelming. And this is the Basilica of St. Peter, the biggest cathedral. Look at the architecture. Look at the paintings. Look at the gold. Just size of it, just sure, it's so overwhelming. It feels so rich and so, like, you know, it's just amazing. And this is Vatican Museum. Everything is gold. Everything is gold. Okay, paintings by this famous painters, the culture, and everything is just so overwhelming. Can I just tell you something, though? Ellen and I felt exactly the same thing. We were spending time in place like Vatican and Basilica of St. Peter, which is such an overwhelming architecture and gold, but we really didn't feel any life in it. Is this the kind of Christianity that we see in Romans? Is this the kind of Christianity that Jesus showed? Is this the kind of Christianity that Paul, when he visited first century? This is absolutely, you know, we just felt almost sick in the stomach, kind of. But we went to a place called Catacomb, San Callisto, okay? And we were not allowed to take any pictures or use cell phone or throw garbage, take any pad or food or cigarette. So we can take any pictures. Basically, Catacomb is a cemetery for Christians in history. This place we visit is one of the many catacomb in Rome, okay? And this is about 27 acres underground. 27 acres of cemetery underground. Christians in first century, second century, third century, until Christianity become legalized, they had to be buried underground. They didn't want to be cremated because they didn't want to. They didn't believe in that, because death after death, they want to be resurrected. So they put Christian bodies in catacomb. And I took this picture out of Google. I don't know whether you could see it. There's nothing fancy, no gold, no prestige, and this is four stories deep. It's amazing. There are 500,000 people buried in this catacomb, 27 acres, okay? Look at this. Isn't that amazing? But here's the amazing thing. Ellen and I both felt, not after visiting Vatican or Basilica of St. Peter, all these great cathedrals, but when we visited this place, we just felt different. And the person who was guiding was an Asian Roman Catholic priest. He was a short, young priest, very good, very funny. And he was taking about 15, 20 of us on a tour which lasted about an hour and a half. And we just walk around this cemetery, okay? And after spending like an hour and a half, this is what he said to us. The word catacomb means dormitory. That was an amazing message. Christians wanted to bury in catacomb as a dormitory. When Christ returns, they wanted to get up together. And they really believed any time, any moment, Jesus would return. Can you believe that, right? And at the end of the tour, this Catholic priest, you know, just kind of, you know, asked us to stand in a circle. And he want to give a last message. Hey, you know, we walked around an hour and a half around this, you know, tombs and dead bodies, okay? And these people worshipped here, and these people wanted to be buried here. And these people actually came and did devotions. The popes were buried here. And he was explaining all of these things, and then he goes, everything that I talk to you about today is about life. Don't go kill yourself, okay? Live the life. Everything that I shared today in this catacomb is about life. Don't go kill yourself, okay? Christ is returning soon. That was the message. It was just amazing, right? All these, I was thinking, how could Christianity go so off track? I mean, do you see Christianity of the scripture of Roman, Book of Romans, in this kind of buildings? I don't know what happened. How could you go so off of the truth? When I walked in there, it impressed me for a few minutes. And then just didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right in me. Okay. Jesus went to the cross and redeemed you through his blood. How are you going to relate that to this? Who is being magnified in this place? It was really sick in the stomach for me. Okay? Jesus went to the cross and became the propitiation and took on the demand of God's justice, wrath upon him so that the wrath will be turned away from you. That's the message of Romans chapter 3. And this is to show God's justice. Justice. At the same time, to show that he's the justifier of sinners who deserve nothing but the wrath of Romans chapter 1, 2, 3. That's the message of the cross, isn't it? My brothers and sisters, I don't know what you believe in your Christian faith, but I just pray that you'll begin to see the message, the real message of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing like this. If anything, I think it looks more like this. Okay? The death and the resurrection. And 500,000 people are buried in this one catacomb. Really believing that this is the dormitory. This is where we need to hang out. So that when Christ returns, that we will be resurrected together. Right? You know, one more thing that I want to share with you. Why is it so important that, you know, just get to the page. Why is it so important to show God's righteousness and justice? Why is it such a crucial matter? What would have happened to his name? If God's justice is not shown, he will be unjust. Just like all the other deities of Greek and Roman, you know, Roman time. They're capricious. They're inconsistent. In other words, all these deities, they sin and they are jealous. They kill each other. They have immoral relationships. In other words, they're nothing but bigger human beings. And God of the scripture is not that kind of God. He is just. And at the same time, he is merciful. And he has demonstrated that perfectly, perfectly on the cross. Okay? So he could justly justify you. Because all of your record has been imputed upon his son. And everything that sin that needs to be that needs to pay for, and the wrath that he needs to take on, and Jesus took on the cross. Do you understand that? Right? God's plan of this was, you know, God put Jesus forward as a propitiation. You know, story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. This is the best picture I was able to find. Okay. If you remember, Abraham, which we're going to be talking about next week, Romans chapter 4, he shows up in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 11. In chapter 22, God asked Abraham to take his son, only son, Isaac, whom he loved, take to the mountain of Moriah and sacrifice him there. Remember that? So next day, without hesitation, they took on a journey for 3 days, and they came to the mountain of Moriah and leave the servants behind. And this is exactly the picture. He put the wood upon the sun, okay? And this is the wood that he's going to use to burn and sacrifice him. And Father placed this on Isaac. And he has the fire right here. And they were walking up to the mountain of Moriah. And finally, the conversation begins. The son asked the father, "Hey, father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the lamb?" Can you even imagine that question? And the father answers to Isaac. Abraham answers to Isaac, "Hey, God will prepare. God will prepare. Okay? We're going to come back together. We're going to come back together." And they went up to the mountain of Moriah. And he was ready to sacrifice him there on the altar. And if you notice, this Isaac was, I don't know, maybe 20 years old, 17 years old, and Abraham had his son when he was 100 years old. That makes him about 120 years old. And yet we see this son Isaac lying there so submittingly, right? And he was ready to slay his son, but God stops him, right? And instead, he prepared a ram. So instead of Isaac, a ram gets sacrificed there, which is the picture of what's going to happen with Jesus. Here's an amazing thing. The mountain of Moriah is Jerusalem. Did you know that? Mountain of Moriah was Jerusalem, where Jesus was sacrificed. Okay? Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed, right? Instead of you, he became the vicarious substitute, and he was slain, and he took on all the wrath of God upon himself. Okay? I want to talk about faith. Okay. Do you have faith? When we say faith, what do you believe? Can I just ask you? I believe in Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? You know, when it comes down to it, this is what we are believing. We believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood that is the ransom for a redemption. It is the blood that became the propitiation for the wrath of God. You are believing in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a slave without the blood of Jesus ransoming you. You're going to live and die as a slave to sin and slavery to Satan. And he doesn't love you. And he will take you to the limit. And if you say no to him, he will beat you. He will hurt you. That's why you cannot get rid of all these addictions, all these sexual immoralities. But if you give your life, because God gives you that faith, he could set you free. We call that redemption. Okay? Do you have that faith? You should pray for faith. It's not enough to know, kind of know. It's not enough for you to be sitting here. You need to have that faith. Okay? We are believing in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we are believing in. Okay? It is the blood that propitiated that mercy seed. Because, you know, I explained to you a couple of weeks ago, in the Old Testament time, in the Holy of Holies, the priest would come with the blood of the Lamb on the Day of Atonement and sprinkle that blood on that mercy seat, which is what word propitiation, hilasterion, is. In other words, it signifies, okay, that's where God and the sin of man meet, and it gets propitiated, atoned for. And Jesus is your propitiation. You need Jesus, people. I don't know whether your Christianity is more like this. Is your Christianity more like this? Or is it more like this? I don't know where you are, people. Okay? I don't know what you're satisfied with. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that demonstrates the justice of God. He is just, and he is perfectly just to justify you. Why does he do that? Because of his great, great mercy towards you. Because of his great, great fatherly love towards you, which is from everlasting to the everlasting. Can I just read that one more time? Okay. I'm just going to pick up from here, verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, Aren't you glad? No, repay us according to our iniquities. We should praise God. That's what David is doing. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Do you fear him? Okay. As far as the east is from the west, as far does he remove our transgressions from us, as a father shows compassion to his children. Okay. This is amazing truth because Father God put forward Jesus on the cross so that he could be our redemption, our redeemer. Does that make sense to you? For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone. Do you know that? That's your frame. You're like wind, you're like grass. When wind blows, you'll be gone. That's what Bible continue to tell the people. Do you know that? That's your frame. You're mere dust. Soon it'll be done. You think that 500,000 people buried here, you think we're better than them? They had faith enough to be buried underground like this because they wait upon the return of Christ. And my prayer is, you feel you're better than them? One day when you're gone, you think people remember you better than them? But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Don't misunderstand that. He is sovereign, and you and I are mere dust. That's what the scripture continue to tell us. One day, hopefully we'll be buried like that, waiting in a dormitory for Christ to return. Okay? And then David just burst into praise after saying this. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I just love this psalm. When you get a chance, please go home and read Psalm 103. Okay? If the gospel is reigning in your heart, if gospel is reigning in your heart, you'll be blessing the Lord. You'll be blessing the Lord. Okay? He is perfectly just, and he's perfectly just to justify you. And he has to establish that through the cross. Through the cross. And it's clearly stated in the scripture. Don't ever try to accuse him, okay? If you have any doubt, look at the cross. If you have any doubt, look at the scripture. But my question to you is, are you just? You know you're not. But God justifies you if you put your faith in the power of his blood. He justifies you. If you put your faith, if you receive it by faith, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray.